And I'm your other host, Maximus Hunter. And we are joined in studio today by our reporter.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brittany Liske.
And we got a great show coming up for you today. All right. So, yeah, on the agenda, we've got Ren Wadsworth campus news. Brittany has got your local news. We're going to be discussing in one round table the interesting beverages senators are allowed to drink during the impeachment trial. It may surprise you. After that, we're going to be hearing some pre-recorded pieces. We're going to be talking to Writing Center Associate Director Laura Hall about what the Writing Center is and how students can use it this semester. What are our other pieces, Ren?
Well, we're going to do a couple of pieces that I made for a competition. So we already aired one, the Culture War piece, but it's been edited just a little bit. So that'll be new and fresh to you. We're also going to look at my powwow piece. I'm not sure if we ever were able to air it. But
I don't think we were. I think we tried once.
Yeah, but it's going to be the 37th annual powwow. So it'll be the first time you guys hear that. And then we're going to close out the show, as we usually do, with a little bit of national news and a little bit of weather.
Yeah, we're also going to have another roundtable, if there's time, about how frustrating I-25 is after it was shut down for most of the rush hour day yesterday because of a vehicle which caught fire and really delayed some people's commute. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. But first, we have a question for you guys, which is, so last week we asked, you know, what did you do over break? And we got some pretty great responses. But now we're curious to look to the future. So what are your goals for the new semester or year if you're not a student? You know, you can text us those at 970-491-KCSU. That's 970-491-5278. And we're looking forward to discussing them. I know personally, my quote-unquote New Year's resolution was to talk less smack, because nothing good comes of that at all.
What was yours, Brittany?
I've never been one to do a lot of New Year's resolutions, but I think a big one of mine is to call my parents more often, you know?
That's a good one.
Being in college, I don't always have a lot of time or make the time to call them and talk to them, and I know they really appreciate those conversations, so definitely like going to try to be doing that this year.
That's something every college student should do. I mean, I know my dad, I think it's probably his biggest complaint about me is every time I call him, it's about money.
Oh, no. Yeah, same. I find myself doing that a lot, so I'm going to try and do that less.
Exactly.
For sure.
More calls, you know, how are you? Mm-hmm. How's life? Parents
regular
are people, too.
Regular conversation type things.
Yeah, right?
I think mine definitely would have to be don't sweat the small stuff. I think I get so caught up in little things that don't really matter that much, and then I worry about them a lot. So I think I need to just let those things go and focus on the big picture. All right, but we're going to move right along into campus news with me. So the future of the Hughes Stadium, where Hughes Stadium previously stood, is still in the air, according to 9 News. Fort Collins City Council has delayed the vote regarding the rezoning of the land. The rezoning would call for development of houses in more than 160 acres of land that the Colorado State University Board of Governors sold. The decision to delay the vote was made after an ethics complaint was filed against 3 council members. The complaint was made by Rory Heath, asking 3 members to recuse themselves. The complaint named Mayor Wade Troxell, Mayor Pro Tem Kristen Stevens, and Council Member Ken Summers. Heath believes that they have a conflict because they work for CSU, they collect a paycheck from CSU, they are employees of CSU, and that was a direct quote from him, and he went on to say, "I'm appalled and embarrassed that members in that position did not recuse themselves." The vote will be taken up again on March 17th by the City Council once the ethics complaint is resolved. The Gregory Alacar Museum of Art is presenting 2 new temporary exhibits from January 21st to April 11th. Sursel et Care at the International Spirit and the International Spirit of Abstract Art will be on display in the Griffin Foundation Gallery, and from February 8th to May 16th, Simple Truth, Still Life Paintings by Pierre Duhart or Dora will be on display in the museum's Work on Paper Gallery. Sylvia Minguzzi says about the first exhibit, Sursel et Care and the International Spirit of Abstract Art focuses on the influential but short-lived artistic group known as Sursel et Care, or Circle and Square in French, which was founded in 1929 by Belgian artist and critic Michael Super.
I think that's Mikael.
Uruguayan and Catalan artist Joaquin Torres Garcia and Catalan American artist Pierre Duhart are also part of the artists that founded Sursel et Care. Although short-lived, it served as a catalyst for a number of other important international artistic movements of the 1930s, such as Abstraction Creation in Paris and Torres Garcia's Circulo I will have to write that up.
Circulo y Cuadrado.
Yeah. It's all French, so we're going to write those out.
That one's Spanish.
Okay. In South America, championing geometrically abstracted art at a pivotal moment in the history of abstraction. Circulo Care left a substantial legacy. A mixer for LGBTQ students, staff, and faculty at Colorado State University will be held on February 4th. The Pride Resource Center and the Graduate School at CSU plans to hold the mixer to foster community across the university's campus. The mixer will have food and refreshments and will feature remarks from Dean Mary Stromberger as well as other faculty at CSU. Pride Resources Center Director Doris Frias encourages this event and says, "We've heard feedback from our graduate students that they can sometimes feel isolated and it's difficult to build community. So for them, it's critical to have a chance to network with faculty as part of the graduate school experience." The event will be held from 5:30 to 7:30 in the Laurie Student Center, room 382. Faculty, staff, and graduate students can register at col.st/ZSA0M. Once again, that address again will be col.st/ZSA0M. And that's all the campus news I have for you today.
Thank you, Ren. I really hope we could maybe get some of those artists in our show again. That would be really cool.
Well, they're all dead, so no. They're from the 1930s.
Maybe we get a medium in here.
Maybe, yeah.
Do a little seance.
Well, it sounded like it was pretty influential for a lot of different like art styles at the time, so I'm sure there's many art students who have studied that style, or maybe that's their favorite style, so maybe we could look more into that.
I'm impressed by still life watercolors. I can't watercolor at all.
Alrighty. We're going to take a quick break, but after that, stick around because we're going to have a little roundtable about the impeachment and what you are and aren't allowed to drink.
Drink? Yeah, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, and then we're going to have an interview with Laura Hall, Associate Director of the Writing Center. And then after that, we're going to have a little bit of local news with our very own reporter, Brittany. So you're going to want to stick around for that.
Yep. Stay tuned. You're listening to 90.5 KCSU, Fort Collins.
This is the Rocky Mountain Review. I'm your host, Ren Wadsworth.
And I'm your other host, Max Hunter. And we're joined today by a reporter.
Hello, I'm Brittany Liske.
Hey, Brittany. So we just did some campus news with Ren. And now we're going to move on to our first roundtable discussion of the day. But first, we have a question for you. What are your goals for the new year / the new semester? We talked about ours. One of my favorite New Year's resolutions I've ever heard is to swear more creatively. I can't obviously can't give any examples, but the person was really dedicated.
Maybe if you substituted other words for swears. I know people sometimes
Fine line.
Sometimes people use ice cream instead of swears. They'll be like, "What the mint chocolate chip?"
Yeah, no, it's a fine line. I'm not going to try it. But that's not our topic of conversation right now. What we are going to be talking about is the very interesting rule about what senators can and can't eat and drink during the impeachment trial. So for those who don't know about how the trial is being conducted, Speaker of the House Mitch McConnell, in his rules for the Senate trial, decided in order to expedite the process to have each side, prosecuting side and the defending side gets 2 days to present their case and a 12-hour session each day, which doesn't quite follow with the timelines of other previous impeachments, but since impeachment is such a rare thing, it's pretty easy to say that there is no typical impeachment schedule. However, this does mean that senators are stuck in the trial for 12 hours at a time with no breaks, no food, and only very specific things they're allowed to drink. So the official rules on what senators are allowed to eat and drink during the during any trial is this. Senators can have water. Senators can have milk. Senators can eat chocolate. That's it. That's actually it. And there's some pretty fun precedents behind why this is the case, actually. So in 1908, a senator on the floor of the Senate was drinking eggnog and thought his eggnog tasted off, put it down, and they tested it and found out that in the heat of the Senate chamber, the eggnog had actually spoiled and would have killed him had he drank it, which caused the Senate to ban anything besides water from Senate trials. Now, in the 60s, there was a senator who really liked milk, and he convinced people to add milk to this list, but it's only water and milk allowed in the trial.
That's funny, because the same thing that happened to the eggnog could easily happen with milk.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I feel like it has the same potential, maybe not to kill you, but go bad and make you sick.
Well, and there's a lot of arguments for expanding what senators can drink, and I think that's a good one of them, is at this point we've allowed milk in, might as well let them drink juice and have coffee.
Yeah, because like you were saying, they're in the Senate chamber for 12 hours each day. That's a pretty rough time to be stuck in one place and can tire you out pretty quickly. So not even just coffee, just because some religions don't allow to drink coffee. So
even a caffeinated tea.
Right. Monster energy drink. I mean, well, it's a 12-hour trial, and all of the time is important. And we saw yesterday during the second day of the trial, a senator actually fell asleep during the trial, which is actually supposed to be punishable upon pain of imprisonment, but they let him off easy. And these are important trial proceedings. I mean,
well, yeah, I don't know. They are important, but again, it's such a long time to be in there with no food. Like, yes, you get candy.
You get chocolate.
And I guess if you have conditions like hypoglycemia, that will take care of it. But still, 12 hours without food is a long time to go without any kind of food besides chocolate.
And some have argued that this was intentional on Mitch McConnell's part in order to... Because generally, in the past, trials like this and impeachment trials like this don't happen so... in such big chunks of time over such a short time span. Normally, you know, you would have 4-hour sessions for 8 days or something like that. Yeah. But like I said, there's no real precedent for how we approach impeachment because it happens so occasionally. Some may argue that Speaker McConnell setting it up in this way is actually conducive of senators paying less attention.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that, and the longer you're in the meeting, the more, like, hostile, the more angry, the more tired you're going to get. So it just sets up this environment that's not good for, like, reasonable decision-making, because you're tired, you're hungry, you've been there for 10 hours already, and now they're asking you to think about this really big decision. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of setting our senators up for... I don't want to say failure, but
well, especially if you're already politically inclined one way or another.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like it definitely creates an environment that's conducive to more irrational thinking or irritability that might not lead to the best decision making.
The one with the most facts behind it. And I just realized actually I did get one thing wrong that I said. It's not 2 days. It was originally 2 days, but McConnell did agree to give 3 days to each side.
Okay.
But still.
So 6 days still of 12 hours.
That's a long time. That's a long time to be sitting in one
place. I could see, I don't know. So I forgot what it's called. But having the milk and water and chocolate has been around for a while, since at least the last impeachment. And things in the Senate always are things of, if it's been like this in the past, we're going to keep it this way because of tradition. And it's always something that's hard to change unless there's a good reason to. So this might be the good reason that, oh, this never came up before, but obviously this needs to change because I can't sit in a room for 12 hours for 6 days in a row and not have food and not have something that's going to keep me awake.
Yeah, well, and this would have been actually a pretty easy rule for them to change before the trial started. You know, because they do set the rules. The House and the Senate, they dictate the rules for their trials. And so the specific rule of milk and water is in the list of rules for the Senate's trial, but didn't necessarily have to be that way. but it only really gained attention after the trial started. So maybe in the future that could change.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how they will change it, if it'll be like, these are the restricted drinks now, like you can have, you can't have commercial drinks or something like that, or you can't have a full course meal. I wonder how they're going to, because I don't think they'll lift it completely to just say, like, bring whatever you want.
No, because then people bring alcohol.
Right, yeah, just bring whatever you want. But I wonder how restrictive it's still going to be after this, if they only allow for coffee to come in or if they allow for more kinds of drinks like that.
I think it's a big question, especially with coffee and caffeine in general. Is it ethically okay to allow our lawmakers to take drugs while they make laws?
Well, that comes down to if you consider coffee a drug. Coffee is a mind-altering substance, but most people wouldn't consider it a drug.
Caffeine?
Yes.
I could disagree
with you
on that.
You can argue it both ways, that it is a drug, it isn't a drug. It changes your, either way, it changes your physiology, but anyway.
There's definitely a debate there, but I think it is important, especially if these senators are up so late. I mean, so Rep. Adam Schiff, who I believe he's the minority whip, so the worst evidence can disappear in the dead of night is what he theorized, which would make sense, although that is a pretty partisan way of looking at things.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that, I don't know, they're not focusing as much on what they should be. I understand the need for urgency, but also they're not treating the senators like people who need rest and need to, like...
It is interesting that we're talking about a presidential impeachment trial, and we're talking about what they can eat and drink instead of the impeachment itself.
The actual impeachment.
Yeah, I don't think that is what the focus should be. I don't want to say they can just eat or drink anything, because like you said, they could bring illegal substances in, but...
Or legal substances.
Yeah, just things that are annoying. Big old bag of potato chips, the whole...
You got a senator with 3-4 locos just let's get this done.
I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see what they're going to... If they're going to even change it, and if they do, what they will change it to, what they decide is the line to cross.
Well, and when this trial is over, I'm going to be really interested in seeing, and probably the best analysis of this will come out in like 10 years or something, but how the conditions of the trial may have impacted the final decision.
Right. Because like I was saying, there's no way that it's not going to, I think it'll impact a lot of their decisions. And like Brittany was saying, if you already have some pretty strong opinions and you're sleep deprived and you're irritable
you're
hungry, you're probably just going to vote with your party line.
Blood pressure's going crazy because all the chocolate.
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't be able to do that, keeping a level head.
No, it sounds miserable, and we're in the peak of our youth. All these people are 50 plus.
Yeah.
Text us your thoughts, listener. 970-491-5278. What do you think about all this? Do you think that it's distracting from the bigger goal? Do you think that it's worth
necessary,
taking a look at?
Yeah.
Do you think it's necessary? Let us know what you think. 970-491-5278. I think we're going to wrap this one up. And do you want to move into Hall, or do you want to move into Powwow?
Let's move into Laura Hall's interview.
All right, sweet. So up next, we're going to play an interview I did with Professor Laura Hall. She's part of the English department and also the associate director of the Writing Center. And if you don't know what the Writing Center is, and you are a student or just someone associated with CSU, it's a really valuable tool that we have here on campus. And I will let Professor Hall explain it much better than I do. Hi, Laura. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dive in, could you just tell me a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes. So I am here on behalf of the Writing Center, and I'm the associate director of the Writing Center. I'm an instructor of composition in the English department. I teach mostly composition courses, C150, C130, and CO302 writing in digital environments as well.
Awesome. And I took that one. It was a lot of fun. You are the associate director of the Writing Center. What is the Writing Center?
The Writing Center is a space on campus unlike any other. It's a space to bring in all types of writing, any genre of writing, and to just sit down with a peer, either graduate student, undergraduate student, and get feedback about your writing, get another set of eyes on your writing, get some help along the way with your writing assignments or your writing for really anything.
Awesome. So specifically, what kinds of resources do you have there?
We have three types of appointments that you can make at the Writing Center. You can meet face-to-face, which is the most beneficial way to get help from our consultants. You can sign up for an online appointment. We do video conferences. If it's -3 degrees outside and you really don't want to leave your dorm room, you can definitely video conference in. And you can also sign up for written feedback in the online queue. So someone will be leaving you some comments on a draft of anything that you have. So there's three options, but I would highly recommend making a face-to-face appointment to really get the full benefit of a Writing Center consultation.
Gotcha. And who can use the Writing Center?
Anyone, really. It's specifically aimed at CSU students. The Writing Center is open to the community. Whether you're an undergraduate student or a graduate student, we have faculty members that swing by the Writing Center to get work, help on their research. So it's open to everyone.
Awesome. So what does the process look like of going to the Writing Center to get help with your work?
Yeah, definitely. So if you are submitting something during a particularly busy time of the year, that would be around midterms or finals, it's a good idea to make an appointment online, and you can do that at writingcenter.colostate.edu. So you'll make an appointment for a set time, or most of the time, especially early in the semester, you can snag an appointment by dropping in, and we are located in the basement of Eddy Hall in Eddy 23. So you would come in, grab some coffee, chill out on the couch. It's a really casual environment. So you will meet with a consultant that you've made an appointment with, and some folks like to make appointments with the same consultants because they kind of get to know them and their writing style and their work. And you will sit down and go through your writing and get help with whatever you want specific help on.
Right on. But I'm Tiff.
Ha.
So what are the Writing Center seminars?
So we have a new opportunity this semester. We started this last semester where folks who are taking CU150 can sign up for supplemental instruction, which means that you can meet once a week with a group of fellow students and a consultant to get specific feedback on your CU150 assignment. So if you're in CU150 and you're a little bit daunted by the amount of work, check out those supplemental instruction courses. They're still open. You can go to our website and see the different times that they meet there on the website.
So as a student, if I was looking for, say, a computer to write on, a place to print, and people who could help me, would that be the place to go?
Not quite. There is a lab in Eddy that's open to students in the that are taking classes in the College of Liberal Arts. But if you are working on writing that you've just had a consultation about, you can definitely hang out there and keep working on what you're working on. We don't have a printer down there, but there are printers upstairs in the building. We'd be happy to show you where those are.
Gotcha. So what specifically is your role there?
So my role as the associate director, I work with a team of other directors, and it's an awesome team. It's a really great team to work with. So we oversee the consultants. So we have about 15 to 18 consultants. We also hire for consultants in the spring. So if that's something that you're interested in, keep an eye out for that job posting. So I am part of the supervisory team of those consultants. We do trainings, weekly trainings. I also manage some of our PR, all those flyers and signs and things like that. That's usually coming from my end.
Gotcha. Now this is an important question I don't think we touched on. Where is the Writing Center?
Okay, so we have two locations, and this kind of gets confusing at the schedule, but if you have made an appointment during the day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you will meet in Eddy 23 in the basement. So keep looking for us. Go around those stairs. It's down there. We have evening hours in Morgan Library behind the computer lab, and we have evening hours from 6 to 8 p.m.
Gotcha. So that's another great question. So I know the Writing Center isn't open yet. When does it open and what are its hours?
We open next week. So beginning on week two of the semester, we'll open at 10 a.m. We'll be open till 4 p.m. on Monday through Thursday. On Friday, our consultants like to leave a little bit early on Friday, and I know you all do too. So We're only open until 1 p.m. on Friday. Our evening hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you. So this is kind of a more open question about writing. What do you think are some of the most common challenges that student writers face?
I think a lot of challenges with writing, especially what we see in the Writing Center, is just confidence in your own voice, confidence in your own thoughts and ideas. And it can feel really vulnerable to share your writing with someone else and have a consultant read that writing out loud. But we found that in doing that, you really kind of gain a little bit of confidence about what you do know. Our consultants aren't there to pick apart writing and pick apart every little grammar thing in your writing, but they're really there to encourage you to improve the writing. So I definitely think confidence is one thing that awesome. We can help with.
Confidence is key. So what would some tips be for students who want to be better writers?
Come to the Writing Center. Definitely come to the Writing Center. Also, just write multiple drafts. Sometimes we either leave something at the last minute, and I do this too as a writer. It's easy to just kind of procrastinate, but really in that iterative process of writing something and then having to write it over again and relook at that draft, that's going to be, I think, the single best way to improve as a writer.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Laura.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
All righty. That was Laura Hall with the Writing Center. Thank you so much for coming in and having that interview with us.
And if you want to know more about the Writing Center, they do have their own website. Just Google the Writing Center at Colorado State, and you can, you know, register for appointments there or video appointments or one of their seminars. I know she said that was still going on. They don't open until next Monday. But they do have lots of awesome resources, especially, like she said, if you're a CL150 student, you can participate in the seminar for credit for that class.
All right. Before we heard a little bit from Laura Hall in the Writing Center, though, we had a roundtable discussion about the impeachment hearing and what the senators are able to drink or not drink, rather, while they're having that, the impeachment trials. And we actually asked for some feedback from all of you, and we got a text in, and someone said, with the argument of caffeine, it actually is a drug because it is an altering substance, which is the definition of a drug. However, it has been so ingrained into our society that is, as well as tea that contains caffeine, should be allowed. Now, if we were talking about marijuana and alcohol, that's a much bigger issue because these are not allowed in the public, at least. I completely agree. We were just talking about it a little bit. A lot of things can be considered drugs just by the definition that it alters the way you think, the way you feel. By that argument, so is sugar and so is the chocolate that they are allowed to eat in the chambers.
That's true. I do think caffeine should be scrutinized before it's allowed to be in the Senate chamber, just because it does have such an intense effect on how people act sometimes. I know me personally, I don't drink caffeine really, but when I do, it has, I mean, do you remember the last time I drank caffeine and I came into the office?
No.
I found a bouncy ball on the ground and I was playing with it on the tables and I was like just everywhere.
Well,
so
the thing though is these aren't 10-year-old kids who've never had a drop of caffeine in their life.
Neither am I.
I know. Hold on. These are older gentlemen and women who have had caffeine and know how it affects them and know if they need it or not to get through a 12-hour meeting. Yes, it is an altering substance. However, if they deem that it's necessary for them to have to get through that meeting, I feel they should be more than allowed to have it.
I guess we trust them with our livelihoods. We can trust them with caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if we were to put like a limit on it, if it were to be allowed, you say maybe one cup of coffee, one cup of tea every few hours, just so no one goes crazy with it and starts bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. The more we talk about it, the more I kind of start to sympathize with why there is this rule of just water and milk, because it starts getting into this.
It gets complicated.
How do we regulate how much caffeine people can take in? And I understand that, but also just because something's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, especially when people are suffering, but
they're senators. They'll be okay. They can't feel
especially
so much
when they're getting the backlash of the lack of action.
Yeah. It's funny because it almost sounds like a waste of time to even talk about, but it's really not. I mean, the lawmakers for our country, right. we should care about their states of mind.
It sounds really silly to talk about it, but also, I don't know, I'm putting myself in their shoes, and I'm exactly, just trying to imagine being in a 12-hour meeting, being in a 12-hour anything, and not being allowed to have anything at all.
Especially when partisanship dictates that a lot of people don't even believe they should be there at all.
Right.
And they're being kept there for 12 hours at a time. And to that point, actually, our lovely texter did say, one of the best things that Congress can do is treat the time they have in the impeachment trial as if they were in the House of Commons, which is British Parliament. They have different breaks during their day in order to keep them sane. At least that's what it seems like to me. Of course, the House of Commons has nearly 400 to 500 years of precedent, but to disallow people who are trying to make huge decisions to take care of themselves as if they are human beings is just flat wrong. And I think that's kind of our consensus here in the station, too, is it's almost distracting from the proceeding of law to be having to worry about these senators' state of mind and of being when they should be focused, and we should be focused on the legal issue at hand.
Well, are they not getting breaks? I guess
no, they don't get breaks.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, if I was put in that situation, I'd be sneaking snacks during my bathroom breaks.
So, I mean, so that they get allowed bathroom breaks. But the thing is, so if you break any of the rules of a Senate trial, it's upon punishment of imprisonment. It's supposed to be immediate, too. They're supposed to take you straight to jail from the trial if they catch you breaking the rules. Now, there's photo evidence of a few senators who've already broken the rules. You're not supposed to have electronic devices. Some senators brought in Apple Watches so they can continue their work, which is technically against the rules. Same with, the senator who was caught sleeping. That's also supposed to be against the rules. But no one's been imprisoned. It does seem kind of a harsh punishment. It looks like we have one more text. Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, so this one says, the milk versus water is cool, but have you heard about all of the senators getting fidget spinners for the impeachment hearings?
I haven't.
I haven't heard that. If that's true, I really like that.
Yeah, if that's a real thing, send us like a link, because that's interesting for sure.
Yeah, it is funny to read, but on a serious note, that's a great idea. Like, when you're attention is almost divided that way, it really helps the focus hone in on what you're hearing.
Do you think they're being ironic about it, though, or they're being serious? I'd imagine they're being ironic about it.
I know. I don't know. I could see it working. I could also see it being a joke, satire almost, that that's... they're like, oh, these poor senators, they only get water and milk. Like, might as well just give them,
let's give them some fidget spinners.
Yeah, that's kind of what it strikes me it might be. But yeah, if person who texted, if you've got a link, I'd love it if you'd send it to us. We'll check it out. But let's move into our next pre-recorded piece here. You want to intro this one, Ren?
Oh, we were actually going to take a break.
Are we going to take a break? Let's take a break.
Heck yeah, we're going to take a break. But after the break, we're going to listen to that 37th annual powwow piece that I created for a contest that I entered. Fingers crossed that I make it. And then later, we're going to hear my culture war piece that I also submitted for that same contest. And then shortly after that piece, we're going to hear from Brittany with a little bit of local news. So stay tuned for all that.
Stay tuned for that. And before we go, we just wanted to ask you guys once again, what are your goals for the new year, new semester? New Year's resolutions, new semester resolutions? Let us know. Text them in, 970-491-5278. That's 970-491-5278. You're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU, Fort Collins.
This is the Rocky Mountain Review. I'm Ren Wadsworth.
And I'm Maximus Hunter. And we're joined in studio by a reporter,
Brittany Liske.
Hey, Brittany. All right. So, Ren, you've got something cool to share with us.
Yeah, I do. So, the Hearst broadcast competition just recently opened up, and one of the competitions was about radio broadcast, and I decided to enter one of my feature pieces and one of my newscast pieces, as well as another feature piece, into that competition, and I'm going to be playing both of those feature pieces for you today. We'll start with the powwow, the 37th annual powwow that happened here at Colorado State University, and then later in the show, we'll hear Charlie Kirk's culture war piece that I covered a little bit earlier today. If you heard them before in the show, they are completely different, revamped from anything you've ever heard before, but that's that.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So without further ado, here is my powwow piece.
Sounds of drums and singing pour from inside the Lori Student Center Ballroom, where the annual Native American Powwow is taking place on October 26th at Colorado State University. Inside of the room is a whirlwind of color. Traditional regalia, dancing, and beaded jewelry line the floors. Alexandria Hopkins is the Vice President of the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. She says the event is a way to celebrate Native American heritage.
It's a way to show, you know, that we're like still here and that we're still celebrating our culture.
Hopkins also says it is not only for Native Americans, but is an inclusive environment for all students.
They have like an opportunity to come and like observe, know more of like what, you know, why people are doing like what they're doing.
Here, attendees observe, socialize, and participate in events like the intertribal dance.
We have a lot of reasons and things that people are misconceptions of it and stereotypes of it. That is a good place to come and learn as well.
That was the powwow's spiritual advisor, Doug Goodfeather.
It's a gathering to come and have a good time, bring awareness to our communities, to our colleges, educate people, and just to help people understand where we come from.
Goodfeather hopes that events like the powwow will help others better understand Native American culture and heritage. In Fort Collins, Colorado, I'm Ren Wadsworth, 90.5 KCSU.
Alrighty, and that was my piece that I submitted. So once again, fingers crossed that I make that competition.
Yeah, good luck. It was a good piece.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then we're going to go ahead with Brittany with a little bit of local news today.
Hi, I'm Brittany Liske, and this is your local news report for January 23rd, and you are listening to KCSU Fort Collins. Coming up on January 26th, all of the 9 Colorado Democrats that are running to replace the Republican Cory Gardner will be gathering at the Longmont Museum for Community Conversation. The candidates will be discussing issues important to the Latinx community. Some of these issues include housing, policing, employment, health and environment, youth services, transportation, as well as many others. This is a conversation that invites community participation, and for those of you who would like to send in your questions, you can email info@longmontlatinxvoice.com, or you can also email info@suvoz.us. On February 28th, the Poudre River Forum will be taking place and is sponsored in part by CSU's Colorado Water Center. This annual event is to bring together those living in the Poudre who farm, deliver clean portable water, drink beer, recreate, and advocate for river health to learn from one another and to explore how we can move from conflict to collaboration. This year's program includes topics that dive into water quality challenges in the Poudre Basin, including historical water quality perspectives, water quality controls and trade-offs, ecosystem impacts on water quality, and municipal, agricultural, and environmental perspectives on water quality. And just as a reminder, if you would like to attend this event, it is taking place on February 28th, and there are a limited number of complimentary student and discounted registrations available. The Richardson Foundation, the Provost's Ethics Colloquium, and other sponsors invite you to attend the 2020 Northern Colorado Human Trafficking Symposium hosted at Colorado State University on February 6, 2020. This event is to engage and educate participants on the issue of human trafficking through research, training, and collaboration. The theme for the symposium is Joining Forces on the Front Lines. The symposium offers 3 tracks, including an awareness track, a professional track for professionals who seek professional training, and a research track for researchers and academics that will highlight cutting-edge research in the field. Again, if you would like to attend this event, it will be taking place at Colorado State University on February 6th. And that is all I have for you today for your local news.
Thanks, Brittany. I'm glad that we're hosting such an important thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, I know we do a lot of, like, symposiums and colloquiums and dissertations at CSU, but not a lot that actually talk about more worldwide topics. We do a lot of agriculture ones, I know, and we do a lot of academic ones, but that's actually something that's more of a public interest.
Yes, and it's definitely a big issue that needs to be talked about and people need to be more aware of.
Especially in Northern Colorado.
It's happening everywhere, and it's pretty big deal.
I've heard over the last few years in northern Colorado, it's been especially bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter, well, maybe not a lighter note, but we have another piece from you, Ren, and this one needs a bit of an introduction, right?
Sure. Yeah. So Charlie Kirk, the founder and president of Turning Point USA, which is a conservative organization that goes to different college campuses, and I'm basically just mirroring my piece right now, came to Colorado State University's campus, and his tour was called Culture War, and Donald Trump Jr. came with him, and there's a lot of controversy that happened around campus because a lot of students felt that maybe his ideals didn't line up exactly with Colorado State University's guidelines, and then other students felt that their voices weren't being heard if people didn't want to hear what Charlie Kirk had to say. So it was just a big event where there was a lot of protesters, and a lot of people weren't even able to get into the event.
More than half, right?
Way more than half. There's about 600 people in the hall with Charlie Kirk, and then 1,000 people outside.
And are the president of our campus even commented on...
What did she say?
Oh my gosh. She, in an email that happened months before the culture war events, after two racist incidents last semester, Joyce McConnell said, "We do not tolerate racism, bigotry, and hate at Colorado State." And then said, "Speaking of which, Charlie Kirk's culture war is coming to campus," which rubs some people, including Charlie, the wrong way. If you're interested in hearing about Charlie's reaction to that, we actually did speak to him during the Culture War event. You can find that at our website, kcsufm.com, under News, RMR, if you want to see our interview with Charlie Kirk. But we're talking about Culture War right now, and we're going to listen to some of the people who participated.
Yeah, I definitely didn't. I didn't put Charlie's personal interview in this. I wanted to hear more of the student side of it. So I got, I feel like each side of the opinion about Charlie in the interview. Anyway, but without further ado, here's my culture war piece.
You guys ready for Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr.? Make some noise.
Griffin Concert Hall houses 600 people, and during Charlie Kirk's Culture War speech at Colorado State University, the room was at capacity. Charlie Kirk is the president and founder of Turning Point USA, a national conservative organization that regularly hosts tours where he speaks on college campuses. The topics vary from year to year, and the tours cover some type of theme and have special guests depending on the college. This year, the theme was Culture War, and toured 8 different colleges with Donald Trump Jr. visiting 2 of them along with Charlie Kirk. Hours before the event, students at CSU shared strong opinions either for or against Charlie Kirk's expected appearance on campus.
My name is Kaori Kaiser, and I am with Rams for Bernie. I think given the events that have happened when Charlie Kirk and other ideologically aligned speakers have come to campus, I think it puts us in a difficult situation because the crowd that tends to attract some violent white supremacist far-right groups.
I'm Dylan Tosinski. Right now I'm a journalism major. I am a freshman. You know, I actually, a lot of people here don't support Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr. coming here. I do. I am admittedly more liberal, but I fully support having conservative speakers and people like that here encouraging free speech.
My name is Kevin LaRusso. I'm with Turning Point USA, and I'm the campus coordinator on Colorado State University. There's this narrative that conservatism is inherently racist, and that is wrong. You know, when they hear Charlie Kirk, they don't have to hear anything he's ever said. They just hear that he is on the right, therefore he's racist. All of us hate that. None of us like racism. None of us like white supremacy. There are going to be people there that we disagree with on both sides.
The speech at CSU discussed what it means to be conservative on college campuses, socialism in the United States, and the culture war Charlie Kirk feels is happening between political parties. Outside of the venue were approximately 1,000 protesters and supporters who were unable to make it inside. Some participants in the crowd included the Young Democratic Socialists of America and the Colorado Proud Boys.
USA! 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 USA!
Student leaders for both Rams for Bernie and Turning Point USA agreed that the next step in moving forward as a community and a country is to end political polarization.
You know, nothing exists in a vacuum, so we really need to be thinking about, like, the total system and what's outside of just the specific speaker.
no matter how much you disagree with what's going to be said in the room, it is important to hear it. You need to be able to, if you disagree with the viewpoints, you need to be able to know what they are so you can figure out what you disagree with or figure out where they're wrong. What's really important is that the dialogue is happening.
For KCSU News, I'm Ren Wadsworth reporting from the University Center for the Arts.
Great work, Ren.
Thank you. Yeah, and like Max said earlier, if you want to hear Charlie Kirk's full interview or any of the interviews in there, their entire unedited interviews are all on our website.
On our website, kcsufm.com. Go to News, Rocky Mountain Review. We spoke to Charlie, and I believe we're the only news organization that actually got to speak to Charlie about this event. So that one was really interesting because he talked, kind of commented directly on what Joyce McConnell said. We also spoke to Rams for Bernie. We spoke to a lot of people. So if you are interested in learning more about culture wars or that time Charlie Kirk came to CSU and there wasn't violence compared to 2018, then check out our website. But we're going to move into another quick roundtable discussion. So what's your least favorite highway that goes between Denver and Fort Collins, y'all?
Let me think about it. I-25.
I-25.
Yeah. Is there another highway?
No.
Okay, I'm like, wait.
Frontage Road? I don't know. But, you know, I-25, which was on fire yesterday. Literally.
Nice.
during around, I believe, the hour of 5 exactly. So smack dab in the
right
center
on
of rush
hour.
Nice. Smack dab in the center. A car combusted on I-25, causing the entirety of the highway to be shut down for hours and completely congesting I-25. So,
how did that happen?
Yeah, that's a great first question.
Yeah, first of all, how did this car combust?
By a car on fire on I-25 a few months ago. It was crazy.
Wow. Well, the other question is, how did it happen so bad that the entire highway had to be shut down?
That's what I was curious about, because I've passed a car on fire before, and it's a crazy thing to see, but they didn't shut down the highway for it.
Well, usually what they'll do if something big like that happens is they'll blockade that particular part of the highway, and then they'll detour you off of it and then back onto it when the blockade's done.
So my guess, and this is just a guess, I don't know if this is the truth, but if I were to take a guess about why, it's because it happened in one of those massive roadwork zones that take up more than half the highway.
That makes sense.
Which really begs the question, you know, we've been in this zone of eternal roadwork, you know, it's been 6 years since I got my driver's license, so at least for the last 6 years on I-25, it's been eternally under construction. Are we getting to the point where it's starting to become a serious detriment? I think we might be.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely really bad to drive on I-25 during rush hour, and I feel like every time I'm on I-25, I have to basically allot an extra hour of time just to prepare for there to be bumper-to-bumper, no-movement traffic, because
that's unpredictable.
I feel like every time I plan for it, it doesn't happen, and every time I don't, there's always about 2 hours of traffic added to my day, which, when I drive a stick, really sucks.
Yeah, I find that no matter what time of day you try to go, even if I'm trying to be strategic and not go during rush hour, I'm always going to be stopped at one point in traffic.
Definitely. Well, and, you know, the construction is supposedly to extend it to 5 lanes at some of its busiest parts, but right now it's down to 2 lanes in those areas, and there's no real guaranteed date about when that construction is going to be done, which is kind of ironic.
I also feel... drive down I-25 every weekend. I feel like I never see anybody actually working, doing construction.
They mostly do it in like late at night.
Well, I'm not saying they're not working, but I drive late at night too. I don't know. I'm not saying they're not working, but I am like, well, if this has been here this long, if it's this much of an issue, maybe there should be like more people working more often. I don't know.
Part of that's also the winter weather.
Yeah, that is true. That's fair. There's not much you can do when it's snowing every other day, yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's no real solution to fix I-25 besides wait for this traffic to be gone. But it's starting to take its toll on me, at least personally.
It is frustrating.
I definitely think it's not as bad as other places I've gone with traffic. Like when I went to California, and like the road leading out of the LAX was probably the worst traffic I've ever seen in my life.
I think that's probably the worst street in the whole world. I know the PCH, and then you go on the one. That is possibly the worst street in the whole world. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying not to complain because I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not in bumper to bumper traffic every single time I go on I-25, but it'd be nice if I didn't have to add an hour to my trip every time I left.
I am glad people here don't drive like they're from California. That's scary.
That's very true. Also, being from Chicago, pretty familiar with that traffic and aggressive driving, and it's not as bad here.
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing I'm very thankful of here is that while we do have pretty heavy traffic on the I-25, people aren't aggressive. I never am scared to merge. I'm never scared to, like, let someone in, whatever. I'm never scared to, like, go the speed I feel comfortable with. So that's nice. I know that is not true in other places like California, Chicago, New York.
Got to be aggressive out there. It's the only way to get where you're going.
That is true, Max.
Yeah. All right. So I think we were going to take a break, but I don't think we have time for the break. So let's move into our next section, which today is Thursday. January 23rd.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is today the day of, Ren?
Well, it's National Handwriting Day. Whether you have perfect penmanship or you're a sloppy scribbler, today is for you. The day encourages people to pick up a writing utensil and start using it. National Handwriting Day really reinforces the thought that the pen is mightier than the sword, and the day hopes to remind people of the power of the written word. It has been said that taking notes helps with memorization and that writing longhand can help with the help the body and mind resynchronize.
Right on.
On a sweeter note, today is also National Pie Day. The day is set aside just to celebrate the dessert, whether that means eating, baking, or throwing pies. Pies have existed since 9500 BC in Egypt, and they come in many different flavors and types, like berry, fruit, cream, and even meat. Pies have become a staple in American culture. After all, what is more American than homemade apple pie?
12-hour-long Senate hearings.
Only milk and water.
I-25. Bad traffic.
I would like to add the quick note. That's pie, P-I-E. You did not just wake up from a coma and it's March.
I know. I was thinking that and I was like, well,
isn't Pi Day like a day?
I know. I was like, they should have planned this better. They should have put it on
National Baked Fruit Filled Crust.
Or meat filled.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back.
Love me a good pot pie.
Oh man. Have you ever been to the Waltzing Kangaroo? Gonna give them some free, unasked for advertising here. They make the most amazing pot pies there on Elizabeth Street.
We're gonna need to stop before I get more hungry.
They're so. I thought you meant like stop at the Waltzing Kangaroo. I was like, okay, I'm down.
That too.
As much as I love talking about decadent desserts, there's something in the air that I just can't get out of my head.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said something.
Well, what is it?
I think that smell. Yes, it must be. It's the weather!
I didn't know the weather had a smell.
Yeah, it
smells like... What does the weather smell like, Max?
Like mercury, you know?
When it
rains, you That's get that, it. Like, smell out. You know, mercury, the chemical, not the planet. Anyway.
Mercury's in retrograde.
Buckle up, everybody.
Woo-wee! As predicted on Tuesday, the weather was cloudy and cool, with only a high of 47 today. Which, you know, it's January, that's fine. But as you move into the end of your week and your weekend, you're going to see the temperatures actually rising. On Friday, you can expect to close out your week with a high of 49 and only slight winds. It's not February yet, folks. We're still in January. 49, that's bananas. As you move into your weekend, you should expect temperatures to rise to 53 and the sun to come out. But there will still be substantial cloud coverage. We're not going full spring and summer yet. Mother Winter still has a few things she wants to figure out. Moving into Sunday, the temperature is going to drop to a high of 50, and that temperature will probably stagnate into Monday as well. But if you want to know if we will ever, ever possibly recover from that dramatic stagnation, you're going to have to tune into the Rocky Mountain Review next Tuesday and forward to learn what happens post-Monday.
Alrighty. Well, I'm afraid that's the end of our show today. I know, very sad. But before we say goodbye to you, we have to say thank you to a couple of people, starting with Damien Castile, who made this song.
What a banger!
Yeah, thank you, Damian Castile, for all the amazing music you make on the show that we are free to use.
Thank you so much, Damian. We also have to thank Brittany. Really glad to have you in the studio today. Thank you for the work you did.
Of course, Max. Love being here.
I'm glad you do. All right.
We have to thank Laura Hall, who had that interview with Max earlier that you guys listened to, as well as all of the people I interviewed in my earlier pieces that you can find on our website, kcsufm.com.
Yes, we should also thank some of the lovely people who work here with us. It would be Julia Battelis, Hannah Copeland, Isaiah Reyes, Peter Walk, Monty Daniels, Mia Sawaya, Hunter Sinclair, Asher Korn, Desiree, Taylor. Thank you all. Sam, he's a new addition to the office. He's cool. Yeah, thank all of you guys and all the staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media Corporation. We really couldn't do this without you.
And I have to thank you, Max. You always make every show such a delight and so informational.
Thanks, Ren. I'd like to thank you. Specifically, I should say, I'd like to thank your technical skills because they've really, really improved since we started this show. And I just want to acknowledge that because you're doing a really good job.
Alrighty. Well, and we, of course, have to thank you, dear listener. You are the bread and butter of our show. We could not do this without you, and we would not do this without you.
Yeah, so thank you very much.
And with that,
we'll see you next time.